When Republican lawmakers rewrote campaign finance laws for last year's elections, what happened? A Wisconsin Democracy Campaign report released today has some of those answers. A record $28.1 million was spent on campaigns for the Assembly and the Senate last year, $9 million by outside groups, $19.1 million by candidates and the four legislative campaign committees. And Wisconsin saw its first $5 million November election for the seat in the Wisconsin legislature. To break down these numbers, thanks to Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, welcome to Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for focusing on this really important issue.
Well, let's start with the big numbers. First of all, $28.1 million is an increase, let me get this right, 66% higher than 2 years ago, and 39% higher than the all-time record of $20.2 million set in 2008.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the numbers overall. Bad thing or good thing that we're up that much?
Well, I think it's a horrifying thing for people who are dedicated to democracy, as most people in Wisconsin are. Our elections have become more and more the playground of the very rich, and now for the first time in 110 years, corporations who can give directly to legislative campaign committees. And so the rewrite of the campaign law also doubled the amount that rich people can give to people running for state assembly and state senate. It used to be 500 for state assembly, now it's 1,000 for state senate. It used to be 1,000, now it's 2,000. And of course, who can write checks for $1,000 or $2,000 but a very select percentage of the people here in Wisconsin? And so it's becoming out of the reach of most Wisconsinites to participate this way in our elections.
And it also, we have an election for governor coming up next year, and it took the maximum individual contribution from $10,000 to $20,000, correct?
Yeah. So, you know, the legislature in its wisdom said rich and poor alike can give $20,000 to the candidate of their choice. And of course, the poor and the middle class don't have $20,000 to throw around. Only the top 1% really do.
Our $28.1 million, though, has to be seen in the context of the nation, where in the wake of Citizens United, the amount of campaign spending just in the nation has just exploded. So has ours, do you think, gone up exponentially more than in other states?
Well, it is. Everything's going through the roof. You're right about that. And it is a combination of three things, really. Some Supreme Court decisions. Citizens United is one, which said corporations can enter into and throw money around to elect this candidate or destroy another candidate. The McCutcheon decision that tore down any ceiling on individuals, how much an individual could spend in an aggregate amount. And then the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which threw out the election law that was standing, and then the Wisconsin legislature and governor who signed the new election law in November of 2015, which tore down some of the ceilings too. I mean, now, it used to be in Wisconsin there was a $10,000 aggregate limit. No
Yep.
one in Wisconsin could give more than $10,000 total to any number of candidates that they wanted to, and that at least put some limit on what people can give. Now, you know, we have some of the richest people in Wisconsin giving $1 million to the Democratic Party, $1 million to the Republican Party. I mean, it's a game that only a few people can play, and that's not what democracy is supposed to be.
Well, we're going to talk about the six costliest campaigns for the ledge here in a few minutes, but let's focus on the independent spending. The $9 million. Now, here's what intrigued me by your numbers, and all these numbers, thanks to your organization, come from your organization. The $9 million in outside groups, $4.8 million from the Democrats, $4.2 million helping Republican candidates. Now, you and I know that the traditional wisdom out there is that Republicans have more money, but this indicates that the Democrats at least came closer to an equal playing field in some
Well, actually,
outside
on the outside, the aggregate outside groups, Democratic-aligned groups spent slightly more than the Republican-aligned groups.
Did that surprise you?
It did surprise me. And so we were kicking that around and wondering, you know, why didn't they have a greater effect? Maybe their ads weren't as good. Technically, maybe tactically, they didn't play the game as well as the Republicans did. But there's also incumbency. There's gerrymandering, redistricting that has played a big role and made these races a lot harder to win for Democrats, as we know by the federal lawsuit that called the redistricting, the rigging of the maps, unconstitutional.
Which is still pending now
yeah.
before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah. So that played a part of it, too. But, the outside groups are throwing their money around. On the Democratic side, it's the group called Greater Wisconsin, the biggest part. And the Republican side, it is WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and American Federation for Children, which is interesting because that's led by, of course, Scott Jensen, the former Speaker of the Assembly, disgraced in the caucus scandal of 2001, who now may have as much power as he used to when he was Speaker of the Assembly because he just throws his money around. And he does it, got to give him credit, in a very strategic way in a couple of the Assembly races, for instance.
Yeah, as we'll
the intervention
see,
of the American Federation for Children may have been decisive.
Yeah, they played in some of these key races. New players this year for outside groups. We've always had, WMC has been a traditional player. Greater Wisconsin Committee, traditional mm-hmm. player. Mr. Jensen's group, new player this year, and any other prosperity for everyday people.
Yeah,
I've never
heard of that. Love the name of it. I love the name of some of these groups.
They back Democrats.
This is a Democratic-leaning group. I don't know how long it takes them to come up with that kind of name. I mean, this makes me laugh just when they come up with these antiseptic names, but there it is. It is a Democratic-leaning group and supported Democrats, I think, threw $1 million around.
Well, to what extent can your organization, which pretty much full-time traces campaign finance and a few other things, I was on your website today, to what extent can you trace who gives to the outside groups? Did the campaign finance reforms, which started in January of 2016, provide for less public disclosure of who gives to these outside groups?
Well, no one has to disclose who gives to the outside groups unless they're doing express advocacy, unless they're saying vote for or vote against. So all these outside groups that are running ads saying State Senator X is the worst scoundrel on the face of the earth, call State Senator X and tell him to stop being such a scoundrel. We don't get to know as citizens of Wisconsin who's splattering our screens with mud. We should be able to know who's paying for that mud, but we don't. In fact, the latest campaign finance rewrite in 2015 here in Wisconsin diminished the disclosure requirements for even people who are giving directly to candidates. They no longer have to tell us, for instance, who they work for. So it's harder and harder for people to figure out if a whole bunch of junior or senior executives at a company are throwing money to Walker or to the Democrats and hoping to get a favor on a piece of legislation. So that's hard.
On that note, Kevin Kennedy, who ran elections for 40 years until, the GAB was abolished, he told Common Cause this just this week. The new campaign finance laws, his quote, shrouds large amounts of previously disclosed activity from the eyes of the public and the press, correct?
Absolutely.
Why? Because of what you were just saying?
Yeah, both because of the disguising the employer.
So nobody has to disclose who you work for when you
write
a check?
Right. I mean, so sometimes people are writing checks. Say they write a $10,000 check to Scott Walker, now a $20,000 check. They can just say, they have to list occupation. They could just say business person. And so if it's someone from, a company that's doing business here in Wisconsin wants a favor from Weedick, it's going to be maybe hard to track who they are. If they just say business people, there are thousands and thousands of business people. How do we know which business person this person is, especially if they have a common name, Tom Jones, Jack Smith, the business person? I mean, there are hundreds of those in Wisconsin.
So I think what you just said, your answer to that question and the one before that, is we really don't know what was spent on campaigns for the Senate and the Assembly, given all the money that does not have to be disclosed. So the $28.1 million, that is the reason we're doing the show, is just what you can trace, correct?
Well, we track, we estimate, we work backwards. We see what commercials these outside groups are running, even the so-called issue advocacy ones, and we get copies of mailings, so we estimate by how many times the ad ran on such and such a station. We attach a dollar figure to that, and we put the best figure we can come up with how much these outside groups are spending. So, no, that $28 million includes the outside spending
it
by these
does.
Groups
okay.
at our best
That's
estimate.
An important distinction,
yeah.
your best estimate.
Yeah.
It seems to me one of the biggest changes, thanks again to your research done by your associate, Mr. Bilo, is the incredible spending increase by the four legislative campaign committees. Now, let me get this right. The four legislative campaign committees, and just for viewers, each legislative leader controls a legislative campaign committee. So in 2014, these four groups spent $1.98 million, but in 2016, they spent $5.64 million, a 3.5-fold increase. Why?
Yeah, and this is just a gigantic increase. And the reason is because the legislature said that corporations now can give to legislative campaign committees. $12,000 ceiling on it, but they can give to these legislative campaign committees, which gives the leaders of the legislative campaign committees, a lot more power.
Even more power.
Yeah, because they can attract the big money. and then they can distribute it and then get favors from the candidates they help elect, and those candidates essentially are in their pocket. And if those candidates next time around aren't playing ball with the legislative leaders, they know they're not going to get the money that the legislative leaders get from these corporations to win next time around. So you got to know their chances are they're going to try to obey their leaders.
Former Senator Tim, Democratic Senator Tim Cullen, did predict 2 years ago that these campaign finance changes would put even more power in the hands of the four legislative leaders, whether or not their parties control that House, correct? And
right.
That's been a result.
Yeah, and Tim Cullen was absolutely right. I mean, of all the increases in spending, in this category, the increase was dramatically higher.
Right.
That is the tripling of the amount given to the legislative campaign committee.
And another way to say that is of the $28.1 million spent by candidates, committees, and outside groups, $5.64 million of that, or one out of every $5,
right,
was spent by a legislative campaign
right.
committee. And just the numbers are intriguing. Which legislative campaign committee raised the most? The Republican Assembly Campaign Committee, $1.66 million. The Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee, $1.44 million, $200,000 less, but a total of $3 million just by those assembly committees. Then the State Senate Democratic Campaign Committee, $1.32 million, and the Committee to Elect a Republican Senate, $1.21 million. So legislative leaders using this new law were not shy about asking for money for their campaign committee.
No, and so it's roughly even if you combine the Democratic committee and the Republican
really
ones, which is interesting,
which
too.
Which goes back to the parity issue.
Yeah, I thought the Republicans would, my guess was they were going to raise a lot more, but no. And we had these corporations who were just throwing their money around. Remember, they can give $12,000 to each. And Ho-Chunk Nation gave $48,000, gave $12,000 to each
they
of the four.
They maxed out to
each
all
of
four?
The four committees, yeah.
Ho-Chunk
yeah.
Nation, thank
so,
you.
So that was the biggest. We Energy gave 30.
But just to be clear,
yeah.
these are checks that Ho-Chunk Nation could not have written 2, 4, and 6 years ago, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
This
sorry, there.
This is new because of the law that passed in November 2015.
Okay.
And so Ho-Chunk Nation was the first. We Energy's $36,000. The beer distributors, $36,000. The Homeowners Alliance, $35,500. So they're all giving at least to one of the Democratic committees as well as two of the Republicans because there's a $12,000 limit. Altria, the tobacco company, Philip Morris,
yes,
gave $34,000. Miller Coors gave $26,000. Alliance of Health Insurers gave $30,000. So these are some of the big players. I thought when this law passed, I thought it was outrageous that corporations for the first time in more than 110 years could give directly to legislative
but
campaign
But you and I
committees.
Heard the debate in both houses that this is nothing but codifying some of these Supreme Court decisions. Matt.
Well, corporations, no. Corporations could run ads out of their own treasury because of Citizens United saying, we don't like candidate X or we like candidate Y. They could do that, but the Supreme Court didn't say they had to allow, you have to allow
had to. Okay.
Corporations to give to legislative campaign committees. So I don't think that was a necessity under this law by any stretch of the imagination.
But you've been watching campaign finance issues in Wisconsin a while. You've just given us a very good list of corporations that played and how much they played in the last news cycle. Don't you think those corporations found some way to back candidates 4, 6, and 8 years ago?
Well, they may have, but there were limits there. You know, there were limits on PAC contributions, for instance. And now, you know, there are limits here at $12,000. And I do have to say for the record that the $12,000 is supposed to go into a segregated account that can't be used directly for express advocacy by the legislative campaign committees.
Yes.
But it can be used for issue advocacy ads.
Okay. Now, is your organization going to be following up to see whether that requirement that you just outlined is followed?
Yeah, we're trying to track all of this and trying to see, you know, exactly what was used with that money. But the thing about this segregated account,
yes,
it's kind of a joke in some ways because, you know, they can use the money to pay the salaries of the people who are making up the ads anyway, and it won't go for the ad itself. And so the money's kind of fungible once it gets in the door. But anyway, there is that requirement by the law that it can't be used explicitly to say vote for or vote against this candidate.
Well, before we look at these six big races, biggest winners as a result of these campaign finance reforms?
Rich people and
okay.
corporations.
Biggest losers?
Everyday citizens, democracy.
Democracy. Okay, now, six races cost more than $1 million. which is a pretty astounding number, because you have to put this in perspective. The job of serving in the Senate or the Assembly pays $50,900, not counting your per diems. So let's talk about the six most expensive races. First of all, let's talk about Senate District 18, which resulted in the election of Republican Senator Dan Fion. This is a Fox Valley race. There was no incumbent, a total of $5.1 million spent. Single most expensive regular election race in Wisconsin history, correct?
Not counting recalls.
Not counting the recalls. Yeah. The recalls were the aberrations outside the box of 2011, 2012. Regular election.
$5 million, record breaker.
Okay, talk to me about that. What's your reaction to $5 million for a Senate seat?
Well, this isn't a U.S. Senate seat. This is a state Senate seat in the Wisconsin legislature. I mean, I think Senator Proxmire or Fighting Bob La Follette would just be spinning in their graves right now if they saw the price tag on getting elected to one of these seats. And, you know, for people who are contemplating running, the idea that, you know, they themselves are going to have to raise a ton of money, and then that these outside groups are going to pour in more money than they may be able to match, and so they'll lose control of their campaigns. I think all of that is just mind-boggling for people who are contemplating a run. I was talking to a person contemplating, you know, a run for governor, and he was thinking, well, this is going to be impossible because I got to raise all this money. And so we're limiting the field of potential candidates as well to, you know, independently wealthy people or people who are just highly connected to the big players.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Let's dwell on the 18th a little bit more. Mr. Fion and Republican committee groups spent $545,000. Mark Harris, the county executive, $510,000. But then let's look. So they were responsible for $1 million plus. Outside groups, $4 million, and we've just listed the largest outside groups. WMC, $1.4 million for Senator Fion, and Greater Wisconsin Committee, $1.3 million for Mr. Harris. Surprising that the candidates and ledge committees spent $1 million and the outside groups spent four times that, Matt?
Well, I mean, this is the problem. You got the outside groups have the capacity to raise unlimited amounts of money, and they can swamp what's going on, and also by the campaign itself. And so the campaign loses control, and I think that's a problem as far as messaging. Another thing about this race, it ended up being pretty equal. I mean, a lot of these races ended up being pretty equal. We'll get to a couple where it might not have been so equal.
Right.
But this was supposed to be a closer race between Fion and Harris. The Democrats had hoped to pick it up, but he got beat pretty bad, I think, 56-44.
This was the only open state Senate seat,
this
so
the
it was
Gudeck
critical.
Seat, yeah.
Yes. The Fox Valley, it had flipped a little bit back and forth. Jessica King, a Democrat, won a recall, and she was ousted at the next election. So this was really as the only open Senate seat. That's one reason why there was so much money spent.
Right.
Okay, now let's...
The Democrats thought it was their best hope.
Now let's go to a state assembly. I'm sorry, state Senate District 14, where Republican Senator Luther Olson kept his job against the local mayor Brian Smith, and the number here is $3 million total. Of that, Senator Olson and Republican committees $381,000, Mayor Smith and Democratic committees $580,000, outside groups $2 million, WMC and the Wisconsin Freedom Alliance, which helped me because I don't know that I've ever heard of who they are. Do we know who they are?
I don't know the Wisconsin Freedom Alliance either, actually.
Okay. Talk to me about
I'm
Senate
sure
District.
You can find that out at our website, though, wisdc.org.
Thank you. Talk to me about Senate District 14. Surprises?
Well, again, the Democrats, I think they may have been fooling themselves that they thought they could take Senator Luther Olson down. He won pretty handily in this race. Brian Smith was a really good candidate, but... they didn't get traction. The Democrats thought they had some traction with Luther Olson in the scandal with the vets, but it just didn't happen here. Here again, I think the money kind of washed out on both sides. There wasn't a huge discrepancy on the Democratic side and on the Republican side. So it may be also a factor of just the shape of the district. Now.
When the money washes out, do you think the advantage goes to the incumbent, Matt?
There's a huge incumbent advantage. You know, people have voted for this person time and time again. The name recognition is much, much higher, and so they have a lot of built-in benefits, built-in advantages, a leg up.
Okay, what we're doing now is we're walking down the six legislative races where more than $1 million each was spent. So now let's go to Assembly District 51, the mayor of Dodgeville, Representative Todd Novak, a Republican. He and Republican groups helping him, spent half of $1 million. The Democrat Jeff Wright, who worked a school district administrator in that district, spent, and Democratic committee spent $335,000. Outside spending of $601,000. The Jobs First Coalition, another Democrat group helping Democrats, and American Federation for Children. Now, is this, you had
said, are you sure Jobs First is Democratic?
Well, we could be wrong.
And I'm not sure we should check on that, too.
Okay, well, yeah. If so, we will correct that. But now, you had mentioned American Federation for Children. Mm-hmm. Is this where Mr. Jensen, former Assembly Speaker right. Jensen, do you think his spending made a difference in this
yeah,
race?
Yeah, this is one of the races where I think Scott Jensen's genius played a role. I mean, this was a race the Democrats thought they could win. Todd Novak seemed vulnerable. It's a district that's pretty split evenly. Jeff Wright, a real good candidate, assistant superintendent up in Sauk, I think. And he got outspent 2-1 by outsiders, okay. Jeff Wright did. So that 2-1 advantage for the Republican groups, and especially American Federation for Children throwing its weight in as the biggest one, I think could have been decisive. This was a very close race, remember, 51-49 Novak.
Yes.
Only won by.
Yeah, it really was. And we'll check on that Jobs First Coalition spending. If it's an error, we'll correct that. The next one on our races that cost more than $1 million, $1.1 million, Senate District 12. Now, I interviewed all these candidates, of course, and went up to Rhinelander to interview both candidates, and Mr. Tiffany was pretty confident. So the traditional betting in the Capitol was that he could be in trouble, but it soon became very obvious that Republicans felt pretty good about his mm-hmm. chances. Senator Tiffany spent $294,000 and Republican committees. Brian Van Stuypen, $254,000. Excuse me, this is an issue. Now, this is a race where you can argue there was general parity
by
both candidates.
Except the outside groups, he got outspent.
I understand. But in terms of the candidates and the alleged committees, there was
right,
kind of parity.
Parity
go
there.
Ahead,
but
make
then,
your
yeah,
point.
But then the outside, again, here, American for Federation for Children, Scott Jensen's group, the school voucher group, came in and spent a lot of money, and the outside groups outspent the Democrats by more than 2-1 here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Tiffany probably would have won anyway. He won huge. So
he did.
The idea that the money discrepancy here was pivotal is a hard argument to win.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Now, the rematch. Senate Democratic leader Jennifer Schilling against former State Senator Dan Kopanky, and in 2011, Senator Schilling recalled. She won the recall election involving former Senator Kopanky. This was quite a race.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly surprised that total spending in this one was only $1 million. I thought it'd be more than that.
You know, I was surprised here, too, in a couple ways. One, that the total spending wasn't higher. And the other, that the Democrats, the outside groups, just kind of fell asleep. Here you had most of the outside spending was all on the Republican side.
Yes.
You had $215,000 from the Republican State Leadership Committee, which is a national group.
Right. Important. That's a national group.
Right.
That's not one of the four legislative right. campaign right. committees. Excuse
and,
me.
And then you had the American Federation for Children throwing in another 35 around. Or 30. So, and the Democrats barely spent anything. And I just think Jen Schilling probably was a little too confident. She only won by 61 votes, after all, when the recount was all said and done.
Yes.
And she may have felt bad as one of the leaders of the Senate campaign committee to say, you know, I need some money for myself. She might have thought that would make her appear selfish. But as a consequence, she became vulnerable. And that's why I think Scott Jensen threw in some money here at the end, because he saw that she was vulnerable. And it was also an attempt by Republicans to decapitate one of the potential candidates for governor, because Jen Schilling had been considering a run for governor. I don't think she is now.
No, she later ruled it out.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So that's fascinating. Then finally, of the races that cost more, other races where spending was more than $1 million, the Assembly District 85th, which is Wausau, another rematch of Mandy Wright beat Pat Snyder in 2012. Mandy served one term. Then she was ousted by a Republican who did not seek re-election. So then Mr. Snyder, former talk show host, who then went to work for Congressman Duffy. Mm-hmm. So $1 million spent on this. And pretty equally, Representative Snyder, $268,000, and Republican groups. Former Representative Democrat Mandy Wright, $246,000, and Democratic campaign committees. Talk to me about outside spending here.
So here, by our calculation, Mandy Wright was outspent 3-1 by the outside groups, with American Federation for Children again playing the lion's share of that. the decisive role. And Mandy Wright was an excellent candidate. She'd served before. She's a school teacher, a very good candidate. And Democrats had hoped to pick up the seat, but she was just getting slammed the last few weeks when these ads came in. And they came in strategically toward the end. And she lost 47-53.
Yeah. Okay, now let's turn it forward. What are the implications of the new campaign finance rules and codes for 2018 when we're going to elect a U.S. senator, which is governed by different campaign finance codes, but we're going to elect a governor and a attorney general and, again, members of the Senate and the Assembly. So what have we learned from your research, 2018, that can give us some hint on 2018, Matt?
Well, I just think it's going to be through the roof like never before. Again, rich people can now give $20,000 and not $10,000 to their candidate for governor. Corporations can throw in and say, vote for Scott Walker or vote for the Democrat, and that can be an unlimited amount if they're not coordinating with the governor. They can coordinate with the governor. This is a new part of the
law. That's a new part of it.
If they're just doing issue advocacy and saying the Democratic candidate is a crook, call the Democratic candidate and tell them to stop being a crook, that's okay. And when, for all intents and purposes, they're telling people not to vote for the Democratic candidate. It's just like saying don't vote for the Democratic candidate, but because of the magic words they're not using, they're allowed to get away with that. So corporations are going to have a lot bigger play. Rich individuals are going to have a lot bigger play because individuals now can give unlimited amounts of money to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Diane Hendricks, for instance, of ABC Supply, has given $1 million to the Republican Party in the last couple years. Liney Eline, a philanthropist, liberal in Milwaukee, has given $1 million to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Right. I mean, I just think it's crazy that we can have people giving that amount of money. And it's just swamping the ability of the average person to get his or her voice heard in these kind of campaigns.
Well, you're a realist. You cannot reform these laws. So what's your position, that we just have to live with it? Point one. Point two, we saw some amount of parity between the ability of Democrats to raise money and Republicans. So if both sides can equally raise about the same amount, where's the foul?
Well, the foul is that the voices of everyday people aren't in this equation. And so the interests of super rich Democrats and the interests of super rich Republicans on some issues may not be that different. And they're both funding the candidates. So that's one of the problems. And another problem is we have corporations that shouldn't be allowed to throw money in.
They can contribute both sides.
And now they can, and they are, as we're saying, but that's kind of crazy. And that's going to lead to potentially more corruption, because then the corporations can get rewarded for their donations, subtly or not so subtly, with legislation or loans or whatever. And so it's a rigged game, and it's becoming more rigged.
You go around the state to do some public speaking. Let me ask you this. Do Wisconsin voters care about these numbers?
Oh, they sure do.
Do they?
You know, I'll give you an example.
What's
I'll
your
give
benchmark?
You some proof. Wisconsin has had 95 communities voting by overwhelming margins that they want to amend the U.S. Constitution to overturn the Citizens United decision of the U.S. Supreme Court that lets corporations throw their money around, and to proclaim once and for all that corporations aren't persons and money isn't speech. Even in conservative places like Waukesha, it's passed by like 66%. It passes in every community by lopsided margins, sometimes 70, 75, 80%. And so the people of Wisconsin understand that the game is rigged against them, that the corporations and the super wealthy have a say that they don't have, and they want to equalize the playing field. That's what democracy is supposed to be about. We're all supposed to have an equal voice. And so I think there is this movement. Wisconsin is actually second only to Massachusetts in the number of communities who have voted in favor of this amendment to the U.S. Constitution. There's a great group called Wisconsin United to Amend, mm-hmm. which has been doing that grassroots work, and my hat's off to them. It's incredible organizing.
Are you hopeful?
I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful. I'm hopeful constitutionally. I think we've got a problem here with the way campaigns are being financed in Wisconsin. We have a problem nationally. We have a problem with our president, as far as I'm concerned, but that's the subject for another time.
That's a different issue for a different time. Matt Rothschild is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, a couple months I asked you to, when you got these numbers, to bring them to Wisconsin Eye. I want to thank you for making good on that commitment. Fascinating numbers. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So I asked him, I was going to another...